So let's be honest. Let's be real honest. Life is full of stuff. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Full of things that we can give our time, our energy. There's endless things that can occupy our time. There's work, there's family, there's hobbies, there's holidays, there's appointments, there's a thousand little things that keep us running each and every day that fill our time. And yet, I believe that the greatest opportunity that we ever have before us, that's given to us, is found not in climbing the ladder of success or growing our followers or building our own little empires, but it's found in saying yes to building the house of God, the greatest opportunity on earth. Volunteering in church isn't about just filling rosters. I know Jody's talking practically in rosters and once a month and all that, but it's not about that. It's actually about fulfilling purpose in your life. It's not about helping a pastor. Anita and I love that we have such great people in this church that put their hand up and do stuff, but it's not about helping us. It's actually about partnering with heaven. It's not about adding something to your plate. Our plates are very full if we take a look, but it's about feeding your soul. Today I want to stir your heart and show you why volunteering isn't just important, but it's actually a divine invitation. So I want to look at, you reckon I can get through 10? It's 10, 15 already. Let's see how quick we go. I want to look at maybe 10. We'll see how we go. 10 reasons why volunteering in God's house is the greatest opportunity on earth. And the first one is this: you're building something eternal. When you volunteer in God's house, you are building something eternal. Let's just stop and think about this for a moment. There are so many things that we spend our lives building. Think about it: our careers, our homes, our businesses, our retirement plans. And look, there's nothing wrong with that, okay? This isn't a guilt fest today to make you feel guilty that you're building all this stuff, but you're not building the house of God. It's not about guilt. God isn't against you building things. Did you hear me? God's not against you building things. It's okay. But he wants to be the foundation.
Amen.
God wants to be the very foundation on which you build everything in your life. And here's the reality. If it's not eternal, it's not going to last. Psalm 127 verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. See, that verse doesn't say don't build. It says make sure God is in it. And that it's part of his house, not just our own little empire. Because here's the deal, you can pour your whole life into building something that looks impressive, but if it's not eternal, one day it will just be dust. That's the reality. But when you serve in God's house, you're not building something temporary. You're building something that will stand the test of time and echo into eternity.
Amen.
Let me put it plainly, in practical terms. I'm a practical type of preacher, if you haven't figured that out already. When you welcome someone at the door and they're walking into church, you're not just being friendly, although that's nice, but you're preparing someone's heart to receive the gospel. When you teach a child, maybe you're volunteering now at any number of our kids' things, there's so many, but when you teach a child maybe a Bible story or whatever, you're not babysitting. You're actually planting seeds that could grow into a future calling. You know, when you run the sound desk and say, oh, I'm just the sound guy. Now, when you run the sound desk, or if you're cleaning the kitchen, not the most glamorous of jobs, they're not up front or anything, but you know what you're doing? You're creating an atmosphere where lives can be changed. Wow. And it might look ordinary in the moment. Oh, I'm just turning the urn on, making sure it doesn't steam up the windows. And it might look ordinary, but you know what? Heaven sees it differently. It sees it very differently. Heaven says that's a builder. When you're serving God's house in whatever capacity, you're a builder. And it makes sense because Jesus himself was a builder. You know, before he ever healed the sick or walked on water, he worked with timber. And he spent 30 years building tables. And then he spent 3 years building people. And now he's still building. Now Matthew 16, 18 says, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. So if Jesus is building his church then why would we settle for building anything less? If it mattered to him, it matters to us. You're building the gateway to transformation when you're serving in the house of God. Without you, church wouldn't function how we would desire it to function, and there wouldn't be an opportunity for people's lives to be transformed. You might never see the full impact of your serving this side of eternity, but that doesn't mean it's not significant what you're doing. It's absolutely significant. Let me tell you, when someone walks into this place, discouraged, anxious, addicted, broken, depressed, whatever it is, they don't always need a sermon, although, I mean, that hurts my ego. But they don't always need a sermon. They just need an encounter with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And you're all part of that when you serve the house of God, because you're creating a platform and an atmosphere for Jesus to touch someone's life. Every act of service, every chair straightened and put out, every light turned on or off, every morning tea that's made, you know, it's a doorway to someone's encounter with Jesus. You're building an altar where people can lay down their burdens. You're building a table where the lonely find belonging. You're building a launch pad where people are commissioned into calling. There's no such thing as I'm just the volunteer. I said it before, I'm just the sound guy, or I'm just the kitchen person. Little Deb's not here today, so I can pick on her. She's down in the kitchen. Sure, she's volunteering. So she's a legend. And I'm not saying this to put her down, but it's just a habit, and we need to break habits sometimes. When she rings me, because she works for our cleaning business, and she'll ring me during the week for something, pretty much 99% of the time, and if she ever calls you, you can probably testify to this, she'll say, "It's just Deb." Mm. Have you noticed, anyone else notice that? Not just me. "It's just Deb. And I just want to..." You're not just Deb. You are the Deb. You are little Deb. You're an employee of our cleaning business. You are Deb. You have value. God loves you. You're never just a sound man or just the kitchen person or I just flick the switch to the urn. No. You are called. You are creating an atmosphere where people can come and meet Jesus. There's no greater calling than serving the house of the Lord. Can we kill this lie once and for all? You're never just a volunteer. Because without you, there's no us. We may as well pack up and go somewhere else. Because if there's no volunteers, there's no church. It doesn't happen. You're a kingdom worker. That's what I want to say to Deb. I'm going to tell her after church. You're a kingdom worker, not just a Deb. You're a partner in purpose. You're a co-laborer with Christ. Heaven doesn't see roles. It just sees faithfulness. And you come every week and flick that burn switch on. God bless you. Wow. Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." You know, whether it's a platform or a parking space, whether you're holding a microphone or holding a baby, you're building something that is going to last forever. See, one day we're all going to stand before God. He's not going to ask how many followers we had or how much money we made or what car we drove. He's not going to care about those things. Here's what he's going to ask. Did you help me build my house? Did you use what I gave you to make room for someone else? Let's be the ones who can say, "Yes, Lord, I did. I helped build your house and I helped change lives." Because when everything else fades, this is what remains. God's house. That's it. Here's the second one. When you serve God's house, you discover who you really are. See, some of us spend our whole lives wondering, what am I here for? What's my purpose? And here's the truth. You won't fully discover your purpose until you start serving. That's when you really discover some stuff. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." See, when you serve, your gifts actually come to life. You find out what makes you come alive. There's nothing more rewarding than serving other people. You realize God wired you to make a difference and not just to go through the motions of life, but he's actually wired you to play a part in building his kingdom. See, serving draws out your design and how you were fearfully and wonderfully made before anyone knew you, God knew you. And he made you in a way that would help increase his house. Here's the third one. We're flying. We're going to get through 10. No problem. When you serve God's house, you become part of something bigger than yourself. Yeah. So good. In a world that constantly is saying to us, oh, do you build your brand, chase your dreams. It's all about you. Jesus actually invites us to something much bigger, and that's called his kingdom. And he wants us to play a part in building his kingdom. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ. That's you. Everyone say you.
Yeah.
Look at your neighbor and point to them and say you.
Yeah.
You are the body of Christ. And each one of you is a part of it. Every single person matters. Every role is significant. When you serve, you realize it's not just about me anymore, but there's more to life than this. It's about what God is doing through us. It's about playing your part in a much bigger story. Let me take you to a moment in Scripture when the people of God came together around a common purpose to rebuild that which was broken. See, Nehemiah, he was a man with a heart for God's people and God's city. And he hears about the devastation of Jerusalem's walls. And it breaks his heart. He's actually quite moved and disturbed by that. So much so, what does he do? He doesn't just pray, well, Lord, just bring the walls back. He actually steps up. And he asks the king for permission. And he leads a movement to rebuild what had been torn down. But here's the key. Nehemiah didn't rebuild the wall by himself.
Not at all.
He couldn't. But it took everyone. Nehemiah chapter 3 gives us this beautiful picture of unity in motion where families, priests, goldsmiths, perfume makers, yes, I said perfume makers, even perfume makers, guards, rulers, all taking up the tools and working side by side to rebuild God's house. And each one built the section in front of their home. No one did everything, but everyone did something. Did you catch that? No one did everything. It's not right for someone to do everything. It's actually not biblical. But everyone can do something. They didn't all have the same background, these people. They didn't all have the same skill set. Perfume maker. They were part of something bigger than themselves. And get this, because of their unity and obedience, they rebuilt the wall in 52 days. Come on. Nehemiah 6. I haven't got that scripture, but I'll tell you it anyway. The wall was finished. When all our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us were afraid and perceived that this work was done by our God. Nehemiah 6, verses 15 and 16. That the world would know. Why do we serve God's house and make God's house known? Not that we can be proud, but so that the world can know that there is a God in heaven that's worth following.
Amen.
That's worth pursuing. That's worth opening up the door to let come in.
Yeah.
Friend, what's happened here is when the people of God rise up with one heart and one mission, there's nothing that they can't do when God is with them. You might feel like your role is small. You might think, oh, I'm just serving. We ban just, well, I'm not just for this or just for that. But maybe I'm just serving on the welcome team. Or I'm only helping with the tech side of things. But listen, you're part of the wall. Did you catch that?
Yes.
You are part of the wall. Everybody doing what they know to do. Your hands matter. Your section matters. The house doesn't get built without you. In fact, without you, there's a gaping hole. Dare I get even a bit prophetic with this? What if this church, what if this house is our wall? What if God is calling us to rebuild what's been broken in our city? And what if the breakthrough we're praying for won't come through just one person, but through all of us?
Yeah.
Stepping into what God has gifted us and graced us to do.
Yes.
Yeah. Serving side by side. It's not just about what we can do alone, and it never is. It's about what God can do through us together. Which leads us to the fourth one that you've seen already. It brings a joy that's different from anything else. When you serve God's house, you are so filled with joy. The world can't offer it. They try to replicate it, but there's nothing like serving the house of the Lord. I mean, let's be real though. Serving isn't always easy. You know, welcome team, you've got to be here between 8 and 8.30. When winter hits, getting here by 8 o'clock, bit of a challenge, isn't it? We'd rather be hibernating and have our toasty fires crackling away and have our Uggies on and hoodies and just sit and watch a movie and stay warm. It's not easy, but there is a joy in serving that nothing else can give. Acts 20:35 reminds us it's more blessed to give than to receive. There's a joy that comes when you see someone's life light up. When you've been the person, perhaps on welcome team that day, and you've shaken someone's hand as they come in. Maybe you turned the urn on so that they could have coffee after the service, and maybe the sound man made the sound just the right level so it didn't blast their ears off. Thank you, sound man. Whatever it is, but then that person responds to the gospel message and gives their heart to Jesus. Every single one of those people, pat on the back, because you have served God in your gifting, in your calling, and led to that. It's not just the person up here doing the sermon. Again, there goes my ego. But it's not me. It's us. Serving in the capacity that God has given us. And there's a great joy that comes when you see someone's life light up. There's another one for Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm so glad I'm here today serving in your house. When you know you've played a part in their breakthrough, in their healing, in their encounter, there's nothing that replicates that. That is the best feeling. You walk away thinking, I was born for this. Serving doesn't drain you. It fills you with joy that runs super deep. Here's the fifth thing about serving God's house. You get to create a legacy. How cool. Let's be honest, we all want our lives to count for something. You don't just be here for nothing. We all want to count for something. Deep down, every single one of us is asking the question, will what I do actually make a difference? Will my life echo after I'm gone? Well, here's the truth. What we do for ourselves usually dies with us. But what we do for God and for others lives on forever. I want every kid that's gone through that kids club, that's come through our youth group, and then whether they've stayed in town or moved on, whatever, I want them to remember that Neat and PJ, that's our kids' names. Yeah, most of you call me PJ now too, and that's fine. But we're Neat and PJ, and they're going to remember that we sowed into their life as a kid. I remember when we learned, because that's what it's about. And you can be part of that. It doesn't just have to be Neat and PJ. We can make up names for everybody, don't worry. We can come up with cool names for whoever wants to volunteer. And you can be part of Kids Club and Youth too. Sign on today before you. Shameless extra plug. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 6:20. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. That is legacy. That is eternal investment. What you're doing today will outlive you when it's based around the foundation of serving Jesus. Amen. And building his house. Yes. When you serve in the house of God, when you pour your time in, your energy, your faith into something, you are planting seeds in soil that never stops growing.
Hallelujah.
That toddler you cared for in kids' church might one day be a worship leader. That teenager you encouraged at youth might one day become a pastor. That quiet person that you welcomed at the door might have been planning to give up on life, but you stayed because you made them feel seen.
Yeah.
You just don't know the impact you are having until the other side of eternity when we all get to party in heaven and go, oh, I remember you.
That's right.
You may never see the full fruit of your faithfulness, but eternity will. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. He says this, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Just think about that. for just a moment. Timothy is a young leader who helped shape the early church. But it didn't just pop out of nowhere. He had a legacy of faith behind him. Lois and Eunice, they aren't famous. They didn't write books that we know of. They didn't preach to crowds. But they passed on something to Timothy. And the kingdom was changed because of it. See, that's what legacy looks like. Passing on to the next generation so that they could run at an even greater speed than you ever did. You're not just fulfilling a role, you're leaving a mark on the next generation. What kind of mark are you leaving? When you serve, you're not just covering a spot on a roster. It's so much more than that. You're making an imprint on hearts that will outlast your name, your title, and your season. You're having an eternal impact. You know, parents might forget what program their children did that Sunday, but they'll remember the leader who loved them. People might forget the sermon. Oh, my ego today. But they'll remember the volunteer who made them feel welcome in a hard season. The chat over coffee after church. A life might be changed simply because you showed up to church today. That's legacy. See, legacy isn't necessarily loud, but it's consistent. Consistent over time. Can I tell you something? Legacy often isn't built in big, loud moments. It's built in consistent, unseen faithfulness. Just doing what you do, not because people see it, but because it's what you're called to do. Day in, day out, showing up. Month after month, showing up. Pouring out. Loving well. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." See, some of you have been sowing faithfully for many, many years. Maybe even decades. And you've wondered if it matters. I'm here to tell you today, it absolutely does. Don't stop. And here's why you don't stop. God sees it. People feel it. And eternity records it. Don't stop serving. Don't get weary in doing that which is good. See, maybe you'll never see the full impact of your service. Or maybe you'll never know how many lives were changed because you said yes. But I believe when you get to heaven, God is going to show you the harvest and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." He's going to show you the ripple effects. He's going to show you the legacy, the generations that were changed because you chose to serve in his house. You're not just part of the team. You are part of a legacy. And I don't say that lightly. Legacy is a big word. But when you sow into God's house, it will never return void. Here's the sixth thing. When you serve God's house, it actually grows your character. Can I be honest? Sometimes serving stretches us.
Oh, it hurts.
It gets inconvenient. And then it reveals things in us. And it humbles us. But that's the point, isn't it? Matthew 20:26 says, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant." Jesus doesn't call us to comfort. He calls us to character. And nothing grows you like serving with the right heart.
Yeah.
Oh, look, it's little Deb. Gotta talk to you later. Nothing grows you like serving with the right heart. Nothing. It teaches you patience, humility, grace, grit. Get to resolve about it. It rubs the rough edges off. Who's got a few rough edges? My hand's up. And it refines you for your calling. See, when you serve the house of God, that leads us into this. You make the invisible God visible. People start to see God in you, in what you do. Why do you go to that place every Sunday, old mate from the community who isn't a Christian? Because they don't get it. But then what an opportunity. Hey, I'm so glad you asked. You know, God did such an amazing miracle in my life. I can't help but want to serve him. And I do that. I go to church every Sunday. I'm volunteering as part of a insert team here. And I just love serving the church. It's so great. Because when I serve the church, I'm serving the one who died for the church. His name is Jesus. Can I tell you about it? What a great conversation we had. You make the invisible God visible when you serve God's house. People can't always see God, but they see you. John 13:35 says, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." See, when someone walks through the doors, they don't meet Jesus in theory. They meet him in how you welcome, how you serve, and how you love, as you are the hands and feet of Jesus serving in the community, in the church. See, you become the sermon before the sermon. So make my sermons look good by you being good. Your smile actually preaches. When you laugh at my humor, when it's not necessarily funny, there's a message. Your kindness ministers. Your time makes space for someone else's transformation. Here's number 8. We're nearly done. When you serve God's house, you meet your people. See, serving is one of the greatest ways to find real community, because you're part of a team. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor," often used on wedding days, but not just relevant to married spouses, but to teams. Two are better than one. Right now there's one running Thursday's homeschool hub. Imagine if there was two or three or four. The things that could be accomplished and achieved as we speak into the lives of people that they're not all part of our church. It's our wider community, people that come that are looking for that space for fellowship in the homeschool space. It's really cool. Some of the strongest friendships are formed while serving shoulder to shoulder. You laugh together, or you pretend to laugh at my jokes, but you laugh together, you pray together, you grow together. See, if you've been feeling disconnected or lonely, or like church is just something you attend, you know, guess what you can do? Start serving. Start serving. Don't sit going, "Woe is me, no one's my friend, no one's talking." No, jump in. Put your name on a bit of paper today and join a team. Start serving and watch what happens. Here's number 9. We've got 2 more. Number 9, you move from attending to owning. This is a key step in the life of a believer that we've all got to face at one point. Let's be real. For a lot of people, church can feel like the place you go to get something. "Oh, I'm here to get a word. I'm here to get a breakthrough. I'm here to get encouraged. I'm here because the worship's great. Well, the message is good." I've just boosted my ego. There's nothing wrong with that, but we all need to be filled up. I get that. So there's nothing wrong with that. But at some point, something shifts. And God starts asking, "Will you not just attend my house? Will you own it?" See, ownership is a heart posture. How is your heart positioned towards this house? Some of you are new. You've been coming for a few weeks. Some of you are visiting today. Many of you have been here a long time. But what is your heart posture towards the body of Christ? If you're visiting today and you've got a home church somewhere else, what's your heart posture towards your church? Psalm 92:13 says, "Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." Who doesn't want to flourish? Why are we here if we don't want to flourish? Oh, I'd rather just wither away. Just whatever will be, que sera, sera. I'll just chill out and, you know, it's all good. I don't need to be, you know, the blessing of God. I'll just keep going in my life. It's okay. Rubbish. You need to flourish. Get yourself planted in a church. Stop hopping from church to church and go to where the next flavor is. And get your roots down and serve in that house. Stop being a consumer, but be a provider, a producer, someone who adds something to the house. It doesn't just come, "Oh, what's good enough for me today?" I'm preaching to the converted. You're all good. Don't feel like I'm. But I am, because it's serious. Plant your roots. See, it doesn't say those who pop in occasionally. Those who pop in occasionally in the house of the Lord will flourish. No, it says those who are planted. It says who are planted, rooted, committed. When you're planted, you don't just consume, you contribute. And because when it's your house, you think differently, don't you? When it's your house, think about your home. Someone's coming to your house, what are you doing? You're preparing, making it look tidy as best you can. Oh, our house is always burning. But that's what you're doing. You fuss around because it's your house. And people are coming into your house. Well, this is your house. Vineyard Christian Church is your house. And because when it's your house, you're going to think differently. So you don't wait for someone else to clean it, or someone else to serve it, or someone else to pray for it. You say, this is my church. Shoulders back. This is my family. This is my field. This is my responsibility. See, attenders watch, but owners build.
Amen.
And I want a church filled with builders. We're about to enter a season that beyond anything we've ever done, when we start building and entering community service in a way we've never served before. I need builders around us. I don't want you all sitting back watching, waiting for it to happen. And oh, don't worry, me and PJ will do it all and it'll happen. I need builders. I need people committed. That means sowing sacrificially. That means giving at a level that you've never done before. We're in a building season. If you're visiting and you're not looking for a church that's in a building season, I'm sorry to tell you, we're in a building season. We'd love you to be here. But sacrificial giving is a must in a building season. Yes, I'm talking finance, but also in service. We need help in every aspect of church life as we build. Nehemiah didn't build the wall on his own. But see, there's a moment where you stop asking, and this is my prayer that every person that calls this church home gets to this moment. Instead of asking, what do I get from this church? I want you to start asking, what can I give to this church? And I'm not just talking money there, although that's great, but your talents, your gifts, what God has blessed you with. What can you give time, talent, treasure? Stop spectating and start participating. Get involved. And then you move from, here's what you move from, oh, well, they should fix that, to how can I help? Or someone should welcome that new person to, I'm going to go and make them feel seen. This church needs more kids and youth workers. To maybe God's calling me to step in and bring them. This is where revival begins, not just from the stage, but in the hearts of the people who say, I'm not just in the crowd, I'm in the crew. I'm here to serve. See, there's no better picture of ownership than the early church. Let's read this together. Acts 2, 42 to 47. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. All the believers were together and they had everything in common. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. We want a church like that. Yeah. That's the kind of church that we want. Not just a Sunday crowd, because this wasn't a Sunday crowd. This was a devoted family. They weren't waiting for programs, but they were living the mission. Those who were added daily being saved.
Hallelujah.
See, ownership isn't about position. Don't wait for a title. I'll make you the leader of this and the leader of that. But it's about passion. What's your passion? You don't need a title to have ownership. You don't need to be on staff to carry the heart for the house. You just need to care. You just need to show up and say, God, whatever you're doing here, I'm in. Use me. And when you own it, you pray for it. When you own it, you protect it. When you own it, you invest in it. And when you own it, you invite others into it. That's a whole other space we're about to launch into, where we want to talk about being an invitational church and to see more and more visitors each and every week introduced to the life of Vineyard Christian Church and given an opportunity to meet Jesus. And it's going to change from attenders to, hey, I'm a worker in the week. I'm a producer. I'm going to provide. I'm going to do my part, which is I'm going to invite people. I'm going to bring them. I'm just going to invite them. I'm going to go pick them up and say, right, let's go grab a coffee at 8:30. We'll be at church by 9. I want you to come and be part of what's happening. You need to hear this. And get that urgency and that culture about your language again. Because we can get comfortable, can't we? We get comfortable and we just come every week and that's just what we do. But who can you bring? Who can you bring? See, you don't... People who serve in the house of the Lord, they don't bail when it gets hard. Oh, that's a bit too tricky now, or that's awkward, or I'm not happy with that, so I'm out of here. True builders in the house build when it gets hard. They dig the foundations even lower. Let's reinforce this thing and make it happen, because this is your house.
Amen.
And that's why you do it, because this is your house. You think differently. It's about ownership now. Instead of just coming along and participating, you are contributing. See, if this is where God has planted you, then it's not their church, it's actually your church. Not to be confused with your church. But it is your family. There's a church called Your Church, if you're wondering. This is your family. This is your assignment. And when you move from attending to owning, the atmosphere of the church changes. All of a sudden, you're turning up on time. It was interesting at 9 o'clock. We're thinking, oh, who's coming today? 10 past 9, full. Excellent. But when you own it, it's yours. You come. You make it. That's not to make you feel condemned. If you feel condemned, that's the Holy Spirit. When you move from attending to owning, the atmosphere of the church changes. It shifts. And God can breathe on that. God can breathe on that because God doesn't just move through great preachers. Well, here you go, here again. A bit of you today. But he moves through committed people like you.
Amen.
So let me ask you this. Are you attending or are you owning? It's rhetorical. Don't put your hand up. Are you watching or are you building? Are you visiting the house? And that's okay. If you're not from here and you're visiting, that's okay. Or are you part of the family? If you live here, put your roots down. Are you visiting the house or are you family? This house is worth building. And it's even better when you can say, this is my house.
Yes.
All right, I'm up to the last one. Told you we'd get there. Number 10. When you serve God's house, you give God a yes to work with. You might think, oh, I'm not qualified. Oh, I'm too busy. What could I really offer? Well, Isaiah 6:8 says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. May that be our posture as a church. Here I am, send me. See, God doesn't need perfection. Stop waiting for your life to be all right and all the boxes ticked and everything's great, and then I'll serve. Or let me pay out all my debts and let me deal with all my financial things, and then I'll give to God's house. Or let me just get my stuff in order and then I might sign up to be part of the kids and youth thing. No, God isn't looking for perfection. He's just looking for availability. Today is an opportunity to express availability. Hey, I want to take that next step and I want to own this house and I want to put my hand up and serve in this space because this is my house. God is looking for a yes. And that's the kind of yes that can shift atmospheres, that changes lives, that opens doors in your own heart that you didn't even know were closed. All of a sudden you come alive. Why? Because you have the greatest opportunity on earth to serve in God's house. So here's the question, and I'm going to close with this. What will you do with the opportunity that's now in front of you? This isn't about guilt. Jodie said it earlier, and I'm glad she did. There's often that tendency of feeling guilty on a day when it's please sign up and serve, and for whatever reason, maybe you can or can't. This isn't about guilt. It's actually about invitation. We are being very deliberate today to say, church, we need your investment. We need your time. We need your gifts. God's fearfully and wonderfully made you in such a way, and he wants to use you in ministry in this church by volunteering and saying, hey, whatever you need, I'll do it. See, God is building something beautiful here, and there's a place just for you to get involved. Not just to attend, but to belong. Not just to watch, but to work with God. So here's the invitation. Let's build the house together. Let's serve with joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We sang it this morning. We're going to serve with joy. Let's leave a legacy. And let's say, here I am, Lord. Send me. Why? Because this is my house. And I'm putting my hand up. Would you stand with me and we're going to pray together as I bring this all to a close. Just reach your hands out in front of you or lift them up if you're able, but just in that posture of wanting to receive, we're going to pray together. Father, I thank you that you invite us to be part of your house, to be part of what you're building on the earth. I thank you, Lord, for that opportunity. Thank you that every act of service matters to you and your kingdom. So today, Lord, we say a collective yes. Yes to your purpose. Yes to your house. Yes to being your hands and feet. Whether it be in this house or wherever your house is, we say yes, Lord. Plant us deep and use us mightily. May everything we do bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God, we want to be used by you.
I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my
say yes to Jesus. Now is your opportunity. We don't have a meeting at Vineyard without giving people the opportunity to accept Jesus as their personal Lord and their Savior. See, Jesus paid the price for you and for me at the cross. Anita talked about it so well around communion, but he gave his life, paid the price. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Jesus died on the cross and took that penalty for you and for me, so that we could be free. How blessed are we? Why wouldn't we want to serve God's house when we've said yes to Jesus? But if you're in the room and maybe you've done that before and you've walked away from the things of God for whatever reason, life's been challenging, you've done things you're not proud of, I'm here to tell you today that there's no longer condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You have an opportunity to be in Christ today by accepting what he's done for you afresh. Maybe you've never made that decision before. What a great opportunity to start a new life with him today. So if you're in this place and you need to say yes to Jesus for the first time, for the 100th time, it doesn't matter, and you need to make that commitment today and that declaration, Jesus, I want to live for you, have your way in me, just as we've just sung, would you just lift up your hand and we're going to pray as a church together and believe for God to move powerfully in your life today. If that's you right now, lift up your hand and say, I need Jesus, Pastor. I need Jesus more than ever. Thank you, Lord. If you're online too, don't disengage. Engage with your Creator, the one that loves you so much. Let's pray this prayer together, church. Dear Jesus, we thank you that you came and that you died on the cross for me. Then you conquered sin and the grave by resurrecting on the third day to new life. Lord, I believe in you. I confess with my mouth that you are my Lord, and I want to live for you and serve for you all the days of my life. Lord, I thank you for what you've done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for new life. Thank you, God, for making a difference in our lives. Thank you, Lord. God is good, amen. We're going to have some fellowship time around morning tea. There are tables set up. Jodie is going to crash tackle you. No, she's not going to do that. She's going to threaten to steal your dog. No, she's not going to do that. But you have an opportunity now to move from attending to building. What is it that you can bring? If you're not sure, talk to any one of our, talk to Jodie. She heads up our volunteers. Talk to Neat and I. We'd love to help you get plugged into a team to serve the house of God. Amen? Amen. Let's have fellowship together. God bless you. Have an awesome week. Men, let me know if you come on Saturday. That would be good. If you don't come, Sue will come.